The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Pleasure to welcome on The Business Bunker for the very first time, Mr. Duncan Summers. Duncan, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Duncan runs a business called Syncbox, and a lot of you may well have heard of that. And when we start talking about it, you certainly will remember it. Why don't you kick off by telling us about Syncbox and how you got started and what it is all about?
Yeah, so probably about 5 years ago now, myself and my business partner Steve, Steve Noyes, run an AV installation company. So we're installing flat screen TVs, multi sound room systems.
I need you.
And the evolution of
if you get anywhere near a wardrobe, run, mate. Otherwise, you won't see the light of day again.
Honestly, Duncan, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you see all the wires behind my telly and all that, it's just a nightmare.
Yeah, well, this is kind of what you know, this is where the idea come from, because all these flat screen TVs, trying to get them stuck on the wall, really become a problem. So we started looking into the option of inventing a product that was that recessed all the cabling into the wall, which would allow you to mount a TV flat to the wall. There was nothing on the market, so we decided to get a patent attorney on board, get some registered designs made, get some prototypes made, and then from there it snowballed. We got a lot of interest from certain people within the industry that were keen to sell it.
So can I just ask you before you carry on with the story, because it's a fascinating story, but it kind of intrigues me, this whole process. When you saw the issue and saw the problem and you thought about designing a solution, was there a lot of different prototypes you experimented with, or did you get it fairly early on?
Yeah, no, there was a few. So we got the first prototype 3D printed, and then you take it to market, you take it to the industry, and you get as much feedback as you possibly can. You know, you ask people what their opinion is, whether they think it'd sell, whether they think it's a good idea, and then you get some really valuable feedback, you know, and you take it on board. Some's rubbish, some's really worthwhile, and so you take on board the good points and you tweak it. So I think we went down about three prototypes before we got it to to the final product, where we went to tooling, and that's a big thing because tooling's expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on, what's tooling?
So the actual metal case that produces that you injection mould the plastic into the actual case which produces the product. You know, that's quite a few thousand pounds to make that, and once you've made it, then you're kind of going down that road, you know. There's no way back, really. So we had to make sure that the product was absolutely spot on before we went to tooling, which was out in China.
And China had to be the cheapest and
we did a lot of digging and trying to find a really good product design company. So we probably went to about four or five different companies before we found the right fit for us. And luckily enough, this company had presence out in China, South China, where they were already producing other products. So it really helped that we could get a route to China, but with a UK-based company that had connections in China. So that cut down a lot of time for us, a lot of language barriers, and it gave us a lot of confidence as well to get it produced out there. So, we got the tooling made, and then we got a couple of thousand produced pretty quickly. And then we got them shipped back to the UK, and within 6 to 8 months, we'd sold them. So it went really well. The sales really went quickly, and then it was apparent that we needed investment. We couldn't fund the business at that rate, largely because when you're buying in China, you've got to pay everything up front. The costs are quite large. You have to order in bulk to make it cost effective.
Is it shipped over?
Yeah, it's shipped over. So you've got probably 5 weeks manufacturing, 5 weeks at sea. So you've got 10 to 12 weeks before you see product, and you've had to shell out, you know, quite a few grand. Then when you start selling it, you've got customers that want 30 days, 60 days. And they're not buying in the thousands to start with. They're buying in the tens, twenties, and if you're lucky, 100. Yeah. So the return on that investment is very slow. It drip feeds through. So you're looking at 8 to 10 months before you even see any money back. So it was at that point we decided to look for some investment. We tried crowdfunding. We tried looking at different angels, and had to put down a huge business plan, which took probably about 6 months of my life trying to hone it down. Taking it out to various distributors, and every conversation I had was, you should go on Dragon's Den, you know, this is a brilliant product, I'd love it, you know, I'd have one tomorrow. And we really didn't want to go down that road. We really just wanted to try and get some investment, but it was really tough. It was really tough.
And frustrating, by the sound.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you do get approached by a lot of people saying, oh, we can help you. I can get you investors, I can get you angels, I can get you cash. And then the reality is that when you sit down and go through it, they want cash up front for it, or they want X amount for that. And the reality is that it wasn't working for us. No, yeah. we just couldn't get it. We needed cash. Then I actually went on the BBC website. And the closing deadline for Dragon's Den was 2 days away, I think. And obviously they wanted the business plan, they wanted the product information, they wanted to know everything about it. Luckily enough, we had all that because I'd spent 6 months putting the business plan together. So I just basically just submitted everything I'd had.
How long a process was that to get on to submitting
I done it in a day, just uploaded all the business plan, and then I think that was around about October time, and then kind of forgot about it really. And then we got through to March, April time the following year, and out of the blue I got a phone call from the BBC. They said, we really like the product, we want to see you, can you come in for a screen test? So
very handsome, so he'd pass the screen test, wouldn't he?
I think so, but Dr. Ennis wasn't on, was he?
No, he wasn't on.
He wasn't available that week, so they got Dunk.
Should have got me in there. But yeah, so we went in for a screen test, and that was it. They said we'll give us a couple of weeks to get back to you, and we'll let you know if you're going to be on the show. And they rang us back pretty much next day and said you're on next week or a week after. Gosh. So we had very little time to prepare.
And were both of you on, you and Steve?
Yeah, me and Steve were on there. Yeah, went up to they filmed it up in Salford, Manchester. So we went up there and. Yeah, it's a great experience.
So, do you stay the night there and chill?
We went up there, you know, very early in the morning. I think we left at about 6 in the morning, and we end up getting home at 10 that night.
So it's a one day shoot.
Did the producers of the show give you advice before you went on?
Yeah, they're really good, actually. The BBC were really good. And this is why I can't understand when people go on that show and they don't know their numbers, or they don't know, you know, they don't know what the profit margins
are. And you can see it coming, can't you?
What profit is.
Or what anything is. I wonder half of them can even tie their shoelaces up. But we got up there and the BBC were like, you know, don't ask for this much, because if anything over that amount, it becomes more of a calculated business decision, where if it's under a set amount, then it's a bit of a gamble. So they also discussed with us how much equity we was going to offer. Obviously we didn't want to offer as much as we did, but we needed it to be an attractive offer because we needed the cash. And actually, you know, I'd rather have a percentage of a lot than a
Well, the Dragon's really tough, aren't you?
This is Ryan talking.
Yeah, they were, yeah. So we had with the Peter Jones, Nick from Moonpig, can't remember his name now, and Tuca, they were all pretty out pretty quick. They kind of didn't understand the product, and they didn't really understand the solution. And that kind of threw us a bit, because we kind of expected them to get it. And maybe Deborah and Sarah not understand it so much, but they both understood it really well. And yeah, we ended up having two offers from Sarah and Deborah.
Do you think it's because girls don't like untidiness?
I was just going to say. Because it's exactly what Jill said, wasn't it? My bloody telly's got cables everywhere.
Well, I actually bought my new husband a tidy cabler thing, not an expensive thing. And that was about 7 years ago. And
it's still in the box.
Well, he's lost it. A bit like the light.
My solar light you bought me for my birthday last year.
I bought a solar light last year for his Leo. He's a Leo. You can tell by the hair. And the mane. And I asked him sweetly, because his next birthday, you know, what he wanted. And I said, you know, the solar light. And he looked very sheepish. And he obviously...
I put it somewhere. I just can't remember where I put it.
He only needed a blooming nail.
He's got to wait for it to get dark till he can find it.
He's got to find where I put it. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So you appear on the show, and Peter Jones and some of the others kind of didn't get the products at all.
No.
Deborah and Sarah did, and both made you an offer.
Yep.
What was the process you went through from there? You know, because that it must be hard, because presumably you've got some idea about what you want to give away and what you want to do and how much you want to raise. Yeah. And then you've got to make an instant decision on whatever they offer you.
Yeah, that's true, actually. And it's a good, that's a really good point, because you know, it's a big thing. You're on national TV and you go to the back of the room and you've literally still got a minute to talk. And they make you, they don't exactly make you feel comfortable. When you say, do you mind if we just go and have a couple of minutes? They sort of,
yeah.
You feel a bit of pressure.
That's what telly thrives on, doesn't it? It thrives on that whole, like, X factor. They love all that, pressure, and which annoys me, actually.
Yeah, there was a bit of pressure, but Deborah kind of sold it to us. She's got a similar product in the building industry, so she kind of sold it to us that she's got a lot of contacts. And it was a no-brainer for us to go with Deborah Meaden in the end, yeah. So, we went with Deborah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
and when was it you appeared on the show?
3 years ago.
Right, so it's quite a while ago.
And can we still watch that show somewhere, do you know?
I think there's a clip of it on the BBC iPlayer website.
Okay.
But the whole episode's not on there, but I think they are slowly, gradually putting all the episodes on there.
Mm.
Okay.
Are they not prioritising yours?
I should do. We was the best.
So, Deborah invested in your business 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Is she still involved?
Yeah, she is. So, since then, she's invested probably about another $100,000.
Right, okay.
And that was something that the BBC were very good at sort of advising us with. And they said, and Deborah did as well, when we met after the show, she sort of said, look, if the business is going the way you say it is, then I'm always going to put more money in, because obviously it's headed in the right direction. It turns out that we have had further investment, and the business has really started to take off over the last maybe 12 months or so, because we've started to specify Syncbox as a standard product now for many of the UK developers. So the top housing developers are now specifying it as a standard product.
Wow.
So when they do a new build, they fit it out with Syncboxes,
that's
in there.
Yeah, so where, you know, you go back a few years, if you're old enough to remember, you know, the old days, you'd have a single socket and a single aerial point. And then,
hold on a minute. We're old enough to remember when we had the wireless.
Black and white, yeah.
We didn't have TV.
Black and white.
Yeah. And I had a black and white TV. And do you know what? My mum used to share a party line telephone with the neighbours over the road.
Yeah.
So you would pick up the phone.
And they'd be talking.
And they'd be talking. You'd have to put the phone down and wait.
Yeah.
That's how old Paul and I are.
Yeah. So back in the day, they would just have, you know, a single socket and a single aerial point. And it's suddenly grown to these huge media plates where they just seem to slap in the middle of the wall. And it's just awful. It's just got every connection available.
Yeah.
And it's just a great big eyesore. So we take that problem away. It's all recessed. It's got a cover over it. It's all completely hidden. And so now what the developers do is they specify it as a standard product. So when the architect's plans come out, it doesn't matter who the contractor is. They get the plans out and they'll see that in the master living room there's a sink box, and in the master bedroom there's a sink box, and in the family room there's a sink box.
So, when somebody moves, the next person just comes in and just plugs their stuff in and they're away.
Yeah, it's all just plug and play,
Amazing.
It's all plug and play. So you have an eye-level TV point now, so if you want to warm out your TV, you can. But then if you don't, it's got a lovely little slip cover that goes over the top, and you can put anything you like over it. And then we've got low-level media systems. And then from there, we've grown the product now, so it offers a speaker system as well, so you can do multi-room speaker systems and configure it all back to one sync box, and power systems, so double power sockets if you want double power sockets with a nice cover over it, and it just hides all the messiness and untidiness.
Yeah, it is messy.
And so from there, we've now started to develop what we call Sync Hub. And this is really quite exciting for myself and Steve, and this is Steve's brainchild. He's come up with the idea of a front-end system, and this is really going to take the industry by storm. There is nothing like it on the market at all, and it's for all your incoming services. So when you buy a property, you've got your BT, you've got your internet coming in, you've got your Sky, your Fibre, your Virgin, and at the moment it seems to be every single contractor just turns up on site, they find the cupboard under the stairs or a space on the wall, and they bolt their system on the wall, the cables run down the wall and it's a mess, and then the BT man comes in, he goes, oh, there's a space, and he slaps his box next to it and it's a complete mess. So what we've done is we've pre-configured a box, it's all colour-coded, it's literally plug and play, and this box just literally goes on the wall at one point, then all the contractors need to do now is just run their cables to one point and literally just plug it in. And it's got a little cover that goes over it, so you can't even see where the connections are.
I love it.
And we've literally got about 20 companies trying to pre-order.
Right.
But we're just at final prototype stage of that now, and that's really quite exciting. Mm.
And is that back in Hong Kong as well?
No, we're doing that over here. We manufacture. It's really quite a simple system, but it's technically it's difficult. But the actual box itself is quite a simple system. Like all things, the best things are simple. Mm. But yeah, so now what we'll have is the complete system. So we've got the front end system where all the incoming cables come into the property, and then from there the cables go out to sync box at the end. So we've got the complete. Complete well, system.
We all want one, don't we, Annette?
More to the point, it sounds very neat and tidy.
It does. Yeah,
Have a way of making sure teenagers remain neat and tidy?
Well, I don't know about that, but we have been asked by primary schools because they don't want children to
trip over and touch.
Yeah, we'll start touching the cables, hospitals as well, because it's clean, because you can wipe over it. So we've been approached by everyone and anyone.
This tidiness issue is a big issue as well.
Yeah, it is.
I'm used to, back in the day, 1,000 years ago, when I worked in IT, you know, your cable buildings and stuff. And if you didn't keep it tidy, it soon became out of control
and a
complete mess. And my house is a bit like that. I've got an office at home, and I've got loads of kit in there, and there's cables everywhere. And it made me laugh when you were talking about BT, because they're my favourite pet hate. I tried to order a service from BT. They ran a coax cable over the roof of my house. They just threw the cable over the roof of the house.
Believe
and,
it.
And drilled a hole through the wall, stuck the cable in, then emailed me and said, oh, do you know what? We can't deliver the service. Just left the cable through a hole in the wall just hanging out. But one of the interesting things is, with all of that cabling, is that it can easily start to cause you problems. Yeah, because it's all just loosening a big thing.
Yep.
You move and you slightly pull something out. You haven't pulled it right out of the socket, but you've disengaged it, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I was finding that with my broadband. I have a WiMAX system, and it kept dropping off, and I'm looking and looking, and I can't see anything. And eventually I picked the box up, and when I picked it up, it suddenly came back on, and I realised the cable was ever so slightly loose. And it's all back.
Yeah.
So I love it.
It's a big problem. It is a big problem, and like I say, we've now got Barclay Homes, Crest Nicholson, Redrow, so many independents as well that are now putting it in their plans, actually in their drawings.
But it's such a long road. Consumer as well, or is it to that?
We sell it online. So you can, if you go to our website, so it's www.sync, which is sync-box.com. And go to the buy now. You can configure your own sync box, so depending on what equipment you've got. So if you've got an Xbox, or if you've got Virgin, or if you've
and
got
installation
Skype.
The installation
is exactly the same, really, as you'd install a standard media box. It's just ours is recessed, so all the connections, all the terminations are exactly the same way as you connect up any system. It's just exactly the same. It's just all we're doing is, it's really simple, really, is we're just taking it into the wall and covering it. All your power connections are exactly the same. Everything you wire up is exactly the same.
So then, Duncan, if something went wrong that was in that box, how would you access it?
I know it sounds daft, but it doesn't.
Nothing will go wrong?
It doesn't, think? No. They're terminated. Obviously it needs to be done by a professional contractor. But once they're terminated, they are. If you do need to get to them, SyncBox is completely modular. So you can just get a screwdriver and pop them out. So if your configuration changes, or if you need something else, you can just pop them out and change it.
Brilliant.
So it's completely modular. So we're now in 20 countries worldwide. So we're down as far as Australia. We've got distribution in Australia.
Because they're very
South
neat
Africa.
In Australia.
Are they?
They are. They're really neat.
Yeah. So we've got distribution all around the world now. So and because it's modular, it's just literally the modules just clip in and clip out. So it's really.
I was thinking. Ryan.
Did you put that down to Dragon's Den that got you to where you are?
Without doubt, you need the investment. Yeah, any business needs investment if they want to grow. But it's hard work. It's not. You've been on the show, and now you're sailing off into the sunset.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't like that.
Yeah,
it isn't. Absolutely. It's hard. The hard work starts.
Absolutely.
Once you've got your money.
Yeah, that's it. The hard work starts.
Did
Debra
have much involvement in, or did she?
We kind of meet with her once a quarter. She's got some contacts, but to be honest, she just lets us get on with it. We just get on with it, and we're the ones that have got.
Because you have the vision, you just needed the cash.
Yeah, we needed the cash, and actually, the route to market has transpired that it wasn't what we set out to do. We thought route to market was going to be through B&Q and through Wix, but through distributors, through CEF, and through all these national distributors. But in actual fact, it's
gone through construction.
Yeah, it's gone through construction. So we've gone from the customer backwards rather than going to the distributor.
You've gone
to the
B2B rather than B2C. Yeah.
We've done really well with the developers. They're the ones that are and loving it. They're loving it as well. Mm. Yeah.
So the Construction Expo, will you be there?
Yeah, there's a good chance we will, but we do get invited to that.
I say, we exhibited that show last year. It's a fantastic show. We exhibited that show last year, and it's fantastic for us.
Yeah.
For Angle Studios. So
it's funny, isn't it, how a construction show like that attracts lots of people to it that aren't anything to do with construction. But if you're selling to construction companies or anything like that, it's a great place to be. It is a great show. We're looking forward to it. The radio station's actually going to be there. We've got a pop-up radio station this year.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So with a new product like this, a relatively new product, that's going to have a profound effect on the market in the long term, presumably, because you're going to have people that have bought a house that have got a sink box in it, and then in a couple of years they're going to move, and they're going to go... There's no sink box in this house. It's going to become a standard type of fitting. One assumes that's the ultimate goal.
That's the goal. That is the goal. Funny enough, we only a year in after the den, we were made an offer by a large company, a £600 million company, offered to buy us.
Right,
but it was a cheeky offer, we decided to say thanks, but no thanks. But so we are becoming a little bit of a thorn in the side now too.
Is anybody trying to compete with you at the moment?
Not at the moment, no, not at the moment. And we've got, like I say, we've got registered designs. Yeah. I think we've got 4 registered designs, and we've patented the installation box. So we've got the world's only hybrid installation box. So it can go into dry line walls or brick walls, and there's not another product like it in the world, which is really quite unique.
Right.
So at the moment we're kind of first to market.
Fantastic. Right,
good stuff.
It's brilliant stuff. All power to you, mate, and fantastically well done. However, I want to talk to you about this, because I was looking at my Twitter feed the other night, and up popped Big Dunk. And I was in bed, so I didn't have the sound on my phone, but I could kind of tell what it was. I think Duncan was doing the water challenge, you remember, from a while back.
It weren't me.
Yeah.
it's not me, but my personal Twitter feed is I've got a lot to say, put it that way.
But it was a chap standing under a digger that was going to pour water on his what did they call that?
It was the ice bucket challenge.
The ice bucket challenge.
Charity, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the ice bucket challenge, wasn't it? Anyway, this guy thought he'd do it with a digger handle. So the guy jumped in the digger. He's got a digger
full of water. Yeah.
And he's gone like that and just knocked the geezer out. He's just hit him smack on the top of the head.
And then poured the water on him.
And then poured the water on him anyway. Yeah, while he's sparkling on the floor. Absolutely. So, nice one. You made me chuckle. Thank you for that.
But yeah, give us a follow on Twitter. So we are @_syncbox, all one word. SYNCBOX. Give us a follow on Twitter.
Duncan, thank you so much for that.
Pleasure.
Pleased to talk to you. Stay with us for the rest of the show. For the moment, Duncan Summers of Syncbox. Thank you.
Thanks.
Brilliant.
I love that story. I want one. Yeah. I want one. So as Ryan said, how do we get one? I want one.
Mm.
I know somebody might be able to get you one.
What's the web address again?
The website is www.sync-box.com.
And the sync is S-Y.
And that web link is on the radio page as well, and we'll stay there as well.
Check it out.
I want one, and you want one, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
The Business Bunker with